T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
Here, my name is Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Been adults producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Her daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and wedding.
And I hope you didn't let what Conor McGregor once was trick you into thinking Conor McGregor in July 2021 is something different. Isn't something different than what he once was. Because it became very clear very quickly on Saturday night. Main event, UFC 264. I paid my $70.
Me too.
What else was I going to do? Became very clear very quickly that the Conor McGregor that was the two-time champion, different weight classes, is no longer that kind of fighter. And then his leg broke in half, which was a wild thing to see. I had a blast Saturday night watching pay-per-view MMA. Little green-haired dude taking one shot after another. Didn't seem to bother him at all. Greg Hardy got his brains beat in. That's always fun to watch. We'll talk MMA momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Dan Wetzel going to be here. National comments for Yahoo Sports. He just wrote a column about Conor McGregor has lost to Dustin Poirier over the weekend. I'll talk to Wetzel about it. He's going to be here in about 20 minutes. Finish that. I'll take a break. Come back. Do 4 notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Game 3 of the NBA Finals was last night in Milwaukee. Bucks won easily, 120-100. Devin Booker got benched in the fourth. That was interesting. We'll talk NBA Finals around 4:44. Brave star Ronald Acuna suffered a torn ACL this weekend, so he's done for the year. Just an awful situation for an incredible young talent. Get into that a little later on this hour. The 2021 MLB draft is underway. Henry Davis, a catcher from Louisville, went first overall to the Pirates. Vandy's Jack Leiter went second to the Rangers. The Mets got Vanderbilt's Kumar Rocker with the 10th pick. Let's go. Mississippi State's Will Bednar went 14th to the Giants. University of Memphis star Hunter Goodman selected in the fourth round by the Colorado Rockies. We'll spend a few minutes on all that just before 5 o'clock in Memphis assistant Larry Brown spoke with the media earlier today. I'll tell you what he said during 4 notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Coggins, just like always, then I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with UFC 264. You know, if you listen to this show regularly, you know I'm more of a boxing fan than an MMA fan. I'd rather watch Roy Jones in his prime or Floyd Mayweather in his prime or Canelo Alvarez or Bud Crawford right now, then I would watch, you know, MMA fighters, Conor McGregor or anybody else. And I know that makes me a minority in 2021, but it's the truth. I prefer boxing to MMA. And I don't follow MMA, UFC too closely. But that said, I still buy some of the UFC pay-per-views every once in a while just because it can be a fun way to spend a Saturday night. Like, I'm a 44-year-old married father of three. You know, we might go to dinner or some Saturday night or some gathering, but mostly our Saturday nights are spent at home. My wife is at her store all day on the day, and I'm usually with the kids at the house or at the golf course somewhere, and then we all settle in at the house on Saturday night. Eventually, the little guys fall asleep, and if there's an interesting UFC pay-per-view card, I'll often buy it because it's a totally suitable way to close the night. Everything but West Coast baseball this time of the year is usually done by the time the main UFC card starts around 9 Central. So I'll just hit buy pay-per-view around 9 o'clock, and then I know exactly how to spend the rest of my night. So that's how I ended up buying UFC 264 on Saturday night. It was Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier in Las Vegas. That's an event. You knew it was going to be. I enjoy events. So I spent $69.99, and glad I did it. Fun night.
Yep.
Fun card. You bought it too, Big Bet Bennett?
Oh, yeah, I did. It's funny.
You could have just come down to the house and watched
it
with me.
I should have. So it's funny. Like, I used to be just a casual UFC fan. I've been watching it for a long time. But during COVID, I got really into it because it was like the only show in, like, that was like the only sporting event really going on was UFC. They went to Fight Island and did all these fights with no fans. And so I ended up getting really into it over those couple months, and now I'm really into it. And this was obviously one of their biggest cards of the year, if not the biggest.
Any card that's going to be headlined by Conor McGregor is going to be your biggest card of the year. I think Dana White said they were approaching 2 million in pay-per-view buys. That's a big number. You know, nobody can do pay-per-views in MMA like Conor McGregor. That might not be true going forward, but it was still true as of, say, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. And so I go into this card with a very surface-level understanding of what's going on. I know McGregor Poirier. I don't know anything else. I didn't even know Greg Hardy was fighting on the card.
Yeah, how about that?
Until the neighbor of mine, who's an Ole Miss grad, was like, Greg Hardy's representing Ole Miss tonight. And I was like, I don't know if that's the guy you want representing. I don't know if you should brag about that. Greg Hardy is an awful human being. So I didn't even realize Greg Hardy was on the main card until I got a text message from a neighbor. But I bought it anyway, and glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great time. You had, I think, three fights on that main pay-per-view card that really stood out as awesome and interesting for different reasons. There was the Sean O'Malley-Chris Martino fight,
yeah.
Greg Hardy getting destroyed, and then McGregor getting beat up before snapping his leg in half was wild. Fun night. And, again, it starts with O'Malley and Martino. Now, I didn't know nothing about anything going on here.
No, this O'Malley dude, he's kind of fine.
He's terrific.
He's one of their next stars, for sure.
For sure.
Yes.
But Martino was the story. Now, I didn't realize this. He took this fight on less than 2 weeks' notice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his first UFC fight. Basically, as the story goes, his manager is like, hey, they need somebody to fight O'Malley. Would you be interested in doing it? He's like, of course. I don't know. It might be a long shot, but let's put our name in there and see if they're interested. And ultimately, he finds out, oh, hey, they'll take you. You're fighting O'Malley, UFC 264, on the pay-per-view card in advance of McGregor Poirier. He's like, all right. This dude's from Milford, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in there with a real contender. And somebody who is quite clearly on a different level than him.
Yes.
Even O'Malley said that afterward. He's like, we're a different level of fighters, but that dude's tough. And boy, I don't know that I've seen many things like this. O'Malley landed 230 significant punches, was connecting 72% of the time he threw. And this dude just kept moving forward. Like, they nicknamed him the zombie middle of the fight because he just kept taking punches, just eating them one after another, and just kept moving forward. And then he was talking to O'Malley the whole time.
Yep.
Did you see, like, afterwards in the press conference, they asked O'Malley, they're like, hey, he looked like he was talking to you. Was he talking to you? He's like, yeah. He says, what was he saying? And he said, you're a B, you're a P. You're getting tired. And O'Malley was like, yeah, I'm getting tired, but pop, pop, pop. You know? Like, he said, my hands are hurting. If you go watch the press conference, he was trying to open like a bottle. It wasn't Gatorade or Powerade, but it looked like Gatorade or Powerade bottle. He was trying to open it. He couldn't. He was having a trouble opening. He said, my hands are hurting so bad from punching this guy in the face over and over again. This guy, Matino, he had green hair like Billie Eilish and just was taking one punch after another. Like, there was never any doubt who was going to win that fight. And that's why the referee got booed for stopping the fight. And I get it. At that point, he's taking that much punishment. There's like 27 seconds left. Maybe just let him go. But you could have stopped that fight at any point.
That's the thing. Like, I think they actually – I know this is, like, contrary to the public opinion.
I think they should have stopped it
earlier.
2 minutes earlier instead of let it go another 30
seconds. Because that, even though that was, like, commendable that Matino, like, is you know – standing toe-to-toe with this amazing fighter and taking all these punches, you can't let a guy take that many punches. Like, it's clear he's not going to win the fight.
Right.
And he's just eating. Like, that's dangerous, dude. That dude is just sitting there eating punches, like, over and over and over.
Yeah, I don't care how tough you are. That takes a toll on you.
Yes.
And even O'Malley afterwards said, you know, like, they could stop it, not stop it, but I was about to put him down. He might have saved 2 years on his life by getting that fight stopped right there. Mm. So I'm with you on this. Like, I get it. Hey, he's moving forward. That's what refs always want to see. Are you still throwing? Are you still moving forward?
Yeah.
If so, you still got your wits about you. Like, if you still want to fight, I'll let you fight. But just because a guy's a zombie and he's walking forward doesn't mean there's any point to what we're doing. Like, at some point, what is this about? It's about who's going to win and who's going to lose. Is it even in doubt? One guy can't land at all, and the other guy is landing everything.
Right. And Matino's not putting up defense. Like, he's taking the punches.
He's taking to give. Like, some guys will take one to give one.
Right.
But he's not giving one.
No.
He's just taking seven to take seven.
Yes.
and then taking 14 more and then taking 40 more.
Yeah.
So, fun fight.
That was
fun. I didn't have a real problem with them stopping it. Like, we knew who was going to win. If you wanted to get off watching a man be punished for another 30 seconds because he's so tough he won't fall, like, that's fine. I mean, I'd have watched it with the rest of you, but at some point, let's stop this. You know, after the fight, they didn't even mess around with anything. You're going straight to the hospital.
Right.
They took him straight to but I feel fine. Yeah, but we just watched that. You're going to go straight to the hospital and get checked out. So that was fun, and then we get the Greg Hardy fight. Now, he's fighting Ty Tuivasa. Ty Tuivasa?
Yep, that's right.
How about this guy?
Amazing.
Drinks beer out of shoes.
He comes out with Spice Girls as his intro music.
As you would.
Comes out with Spice Girls as his intro music. And all they're talking about is Greg Hardy, by the way. Like, how much he's improved, you know, how much his he really feels like he's a real fighter now. Because it's kind of been an ongoing joke with him.
They never once mentioned how he beat the crap out of his ex-girlfriend.
Correct. Yeah. Right.
But they talked about all this other stuff.
And they were like, how he meditates now, and he's become, and this dude just knocks him out within like a minute. Like, it was embarrassing.
First round knockout.
Yeah.
By a guy who's kind of on the chubby side.
And it was pretty easy. Like, it did not, you could tell right when that thing started, I was like, oh, this is about to be over.
Man, I root for people from here. I've talked about this all the time, whether it's people who are in film, music, or sports. You know, in sports, Anthony Miller, Cameron Payne, Cameron Kinley, not Greg Hardy. Awful.
He's a bad dude.
Yeah, like watching him get knocked out is pleasurable for me. I don't root for him at all. Just an awful human. Like, my neighbor was like, he's representing old man. I'm like, you don't want that guy representing.
Nah.
If you want that guy representing your university, like, that says something about you. He's a terrible, terrible human being. So Tuivasa just blasts him, knocks him out, and then starts drinking beers out of people's shoes. Dude's nickname, Bam Bam. He's from Australia.
Amazing. Like, I'll buy that dude's fight. When he's on the next card, I'm watching.
That's what I like about buying this card. I only buy it because of McGregor, and then I get introduced to these other people.
These other guys,
so now I'm like, okay, this O'Malley guy, like, I'll watch his next fight. And Matino, I guess I'll get in there and watch him fight again. Tuivasa, he seems like fun.
Yeah.
They asked him about Greg Hardy. He said, he wanted to bang with me, but I'm the wrong guy to bang with. You better find another bloke. I like it when people say bloke. So he started his MMA career 9-0, then lost 3 straight. Now he's won 3 straight, so he's 12-3 in MMA. Big personality, good for the sport. Any guy who knocks an abuser out in the octagon and then walks back to the dressing room drinking beer out of other people's shoes, I'm for that.
You can have my money.
You can have my money. So I was happy to spend it. to watch that guy blast Greg Hardy. And then, of course, you get to the main event. Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor, and TKO in the first round after McGregor broke his leg. Let me ask you this. Because afterward, Poirier said, I think he broke it kicking me. And then it just, and it was so fragile that then it snapped completely when he tried to plant. Do you buy that, or he just snapped when he tried to plant? I don't have any idea.
I don't really necessarily buy that. I saw the footage that they showed where he kicked him, and they said that's where it could have happened, but it didn't look like anything nasty happened on that kick. So I think it was just a freak accident, personally.
It might have been. And honestly, it might be, for the purposes of McGregor's career, the best thing that could have happened to him. Because if that didn't happen to him, he was about to get beat up. He was in the process of getting beat up.
Yeah,
he can keep saying, I wasn't going to lose that fight.
That's true.
But he was going to lose that fight.
Maybe.
Definitely.
You think definitely?
He's not the same dude anymore.
Maybe not, but if it would have gone, it was going to go to the second round. And my thing with him is he's quick at taking care of business. Like
used to be.
I'm just saying, I would have wanted to see him get another chance in the second round. Like, go gather yourself. Let's see what he comes out with in the second round, and then we would know.
So you still hanging on?
Oh, I'm hanging on. Yeah. I'm ready for the trilogy is not complete.
You're exactly who I'm talking about here, and it's fine because like I had a buddy.
Poirier cannot claim that fight. He cannot say I won the trilogy. Like I'm the better of the two of us. Even though he might be.
He literally won the fight,
dude.
Like there was a winner and a loser. And he was the winner. Like, actually, like, you can look it up. It's a W for him, and it's an L for Conor McGregor. Like, how it ended was unfortunate, but somebody is declared a winner, and somebody is declared a loser. Dustin Poirier won that fight. But here's my point. They will fight again.
They will.
And that's fine.
They both want to.
And I'll buy it, because it'll be something to do on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
But Conor McGregor's not the same guy anymore. He's 1-3 in his past 4 fights, 3-4 in his past 7 fights. How about this? You're remembering something that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
0 wins in 2017, 0 wins in 2018, 0 wins in 2019.
I can't argue with that.
He beat Donald
Cerrone, who's done.
In January 2020. That's his only win in the past 4 years. And Cerrone hasn't won a fight since May 2019. So follow me here.
Yep.
The only person Conor McGregor has beaten in the past 4 years is somebody who hasn't won in more than 2 years. He's done. As a high-level MMA guy, he's done. He was top tier, but he's not anymore. And you know what it reminds me of? I thought of this while I was watching it on Saturday night. Because you're not alone. I have a friend who bet on McGregor Saturday night. Couldn't wait to do it.
Welcome to the club.
Right. And he was just like, I just want, because that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want, so I'm betting on that. But I went and like was reading the breakdown from the CBS Sports MMA expert, and they were like, this is the easiest bet of the night. Lay 140 with Dustin Poirier.
It was the sucker bet of the weekend.
Of course.
And of course I did it because I had to. I wanted Connor.
And this is what happens.
Uh-huh.
Well, if somebody of this magnitude, people hang on, believing in something longer than they should, even though it's still not there. As I was watching it Saturday night, here's what reminded me of. Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis. June 2002, Mike Tyson was 35 years old, and by that time a 3-loss fighter. He'd lost to Buster Douglas and then lost to Evander Holyfield twice. Mike Tyson at that point, in June 2002, hadn't beaten a top-level guy in probably 5 or 6 years, probably since Bruce Seldon in 1996, if you consider Bruce Seldon a top-tier guy. Either way, that was 1996. It's now 2002, and I remember people still talking themselves into Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
But I was around boxing people that whole week leading up to that fight because it was here in Memphis.
Yeah.
And I remember boxing people going, no. It's over for him. This is going to be a massive deal. It's not the same guy. Lennox is going to hurt him. If you go back and watch that fight, I went back and looked at it this morning. There's a point in between rounds fairly early on where Emmanuel Stewart, Lennox Lewis trainer, is yelling at Lennox, finish this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready to go. Finish him, and let's go home. It was so obvious that this is not going to work out. Michael, throw those big punches, and they'll look familiar, but they're not the same. He'll run his mouth, and it'll sound familiar, but he's not the same. I'll never forget my friends who only follow boxing on a surface level being like, ooh, Mike's going to get it. Mike's going to get it. Being around boxing people, they're like, no. This is over. And then it was over for Mike Tyson. He came back, fought again, beat some bums, but he was never the same guy. And it was clear in June 2002, probably clear even before that. The other one, and I don't remember this one, but I remember people talking about it the same way. Muhammad Ali, Larry Holmes, 1980.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember where I heard the story. I tried to look it up today. Couldn't find it anywhere. But there's a story about, I think it was a janitor who was explaining to somebody, a janitor who worked at this in Vegas and had put, you know, a not insignificant amount of money on Muhammad Ali against Larry Holmes. By the way, Larry Holmes opened that fight as a 3-1 favorite, and the public bought it down to 2-1 because people wanted to believe Muhammad Ali was still that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the fight starts, and he's just not the guy. It's pretty clear. He's 38 years old on the night of the fight.
Mm-hmm.
He had already briefly retired, already had a vocal stutter and trembling hands. And he's getting in there with a younger, bigger, stronger Larry Holmes, and you think he's going to win? People still believed in it. Why? Because when you have fighters of this magnitude, whether it's Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, or in this case, Conor McGregor, you want to believe the best of it is still there because the best of it was so much fun. And so Larry Holmes is 35-0, 30 years old, big and strong against Muhammad Ali. And people bought it down from 3-1 to 2-1. So much money came in on Ali because people wanted to believe in it, just like they wanted to believe in Tyson against Lewis and McGregor against Poirier.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. I went and found a Sports Illustrated story from Pat Putnam that I thought illustrated this perfectly, and it'll remind you of McGregor that we saw on Saturday night. I'll just read you a little bit of it. This is Pat Putnam writing about the Muhammad Ali-Larry Holmes fight back in 1980. He wrote, Larry Holmes came out with a rush, and Muhammad Ali tried to fend him off with a wild looping right that missed. Then Holmes introduced him to his jab, which is a ripping weapon fired hard and true, and is more damaging than most fighters' hooks. Then he hooked Ali to the temple and drilled a right to the head. The tempo was set. The final chapter of a legend was being written under the darkened Nevada sky. Ali's jab, so brilliant in the past, was no more than a tired push. It was both little used and useless. In the first round, he hit Holmes with one solid right hand over a jab. The crowd chanted, Ali, Ali, Ali. In the second round, he scored with two rights, Ali, Ali. But even the chant seemed to have lost some of its fervor, some of its hope. From that point on, there was nothing, only a condemned man waiting to be summoned from his cell. But Holmes' trainer, Richie Giacchetti, was taking no chances. When Holmes came back to the corner after the second round, Giacchetti said, did you see that right hand? That's all he's got. Holmes said, I saw it. And I said, oh, I better take a step back and get serious. Well, that's the punch I warned you about, the trainer said. I know, Larry Holmes replied. What they didn't know was that Ali didn't have another right hand in his arsenal. He was through. Ali, all he had left was his mouth. After taking a beating in the third round, Ali followed Holmes to his corner, shouting insults. The referee grabbed Ali and pushed him toward his corner. You're scared to death, Jake Holmes, Larry Holmes' brother, yelled at the retreating ex-champion. Larry Holmes took no notice. By the fourth round, Ali, an exhausted man trying to survive, had an ugly bruise under his left eye. After the fourth round, Giacchetti told Holmes to work Ali into the middle of the ring. He said the ropes are the only thing holding him up. Get him out where he can fall down. Over in Ali's corner, famed trainer Angelo Dundee was begging his man to fight. I was trying to pump him up, Angelo Dundee would later say, but you can't pump up what isn't there. You can't get water out of a dry well. Muhammad Ali went and took a beating the rest of the way. He was never a threat. And then Dundee stopped the fight after the 10th round. It was the first and only time Ali ever lost by knockout. He only fought one more time after that against Trevor Burbick a year later. Lost that too, and that was the career. And that's what I thought. That's what I thought about when I watched Conor McGregor over the weekend. The end of Muhammad Ali, the end of Mike Tyson. You can argue no fighters have created bigger fan bases over the past 60 years than Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, Conor McGregor. I mean, there's other guys. Sugar Ray Leonard, Oscar De La Hoya, Roy Jones, Floyd Mayweather, Evander Holyfield. There's some names that matter, but it's hard to do better, to be bigger than Ali, Tyson, McGregor. And they've now all had the moment where it's clear on a big stage they can no longer do what they once did. For Muhammad Ali, it was Larry Holmes. For Mike Tyson, it was Lennox Lewis. And for Conor McGregor, it was Saturday night to Dustin Poirier. Up until those fights, if you still wanted to believe, you could talk yourself into it. But after those fights, only somebody with no eyes could still believe. And that's not to suggest that Conor McGregor is done. Like I said, he'll fight again. He'll heal. He'll tell us he's better than ever. He will probably make this fourth fight with Poirier, and we'll all buy it, and it'll make for a fun Saturday night. But it is impossible to believe in him anymore. The Conor McGregor that Bennett and so many others fell in love with, that guy no longer exists. That was clear on Saturday night. And if you've been watching closely, it's probably been clear for a good bit now. Probably a few years, maybe longer. Dan Wetzel wrote about it. I'll talk to him next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Please guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life like.
Game 3 of the NBA Finals was last night in Milwaukee. The Bucks won by 20. Devin Booker got benched. We'll talk about it in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, he is an award-winning columnist, New York Times best-selling author, the man who wrote the series, Epic Athletes, the Champions Collection box set. It's for young readers, got biographies on everybody from Steph Curry to Tom Brady to LeBron James to Lionel Messi, Serena Williams. You can find it Amazon.com. It's Dan Wetzel making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar, using food and wine to create memorable times.
So, Dan, I was talking in the opening segment as I was watching McGregor Poirier on Saturday night. It reminded me of Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis, in the sense that if you wanted to still believe in this larger-than-life figure, you could maybe talk yourself into it. But by the time that fight was over, it was clear that the fighter that you fell in love with is no longer the same guy. For Mike Tyson, that was the Lennox Lewis fight, if not earlier. For Muhammad Ali, once upon a time, it was the Larry Holmes fight. And at least from my perspective, for Conor McGregor, if it wasn't, you know, at some point in the past 3 or 4 years, it was Saturday night. I know the fight ended with a snapped leg, and that's unfortunate, but a lot of people have made the point, it looks like the best of Conor McGregor is something in the past. Is that where you're at right now as well?
Father Time is undefeated, GP.
I know it.
Father Time is undefeated. Yeah, it's, you know, he's not that guy. You know, McGregor had, I mean, he's never been the... other than the Aldo fight where he kind of caught him running in, he's never been that ultra-dominant fighter. He's always been an exciting fighter. He gets in very exciting fights. The you know, after Aldo, he had the, you know, the split with Diaz, Nate Diaz. He lost the first. The second was a majority decision. Like, he just is always in good fights. And it's really his ability to just, you know, wind everybody up, the trash talk, the hype, the promotion. He's just a lot of fun, all the craziness. But then he would unleash, particularly in those first rounds, he would come out and just unleash that anger that made you really think this is real. And this last fight against Poirier, the last two, the Khabib fight before, just hasn't been able to do that. He gets overwhelmed by these guys. And MMA is such a sport that it just improves constantly, evolves constantly. That if you're not improving and you're just staying still, you're getting left behind because these guys get better and better and better at all the different things. It's still, the early days of this sport. They look back in 20 years and kind of go, boy, it wasn't really that. These guys weren't that good. Well, so that's how quick it goes. And so I think for McGregor, it's a lot of bluster. But when he's sitting there on the canvas with a busted leg, still yapping his usual stuff, this wasn't, I haven't lost yet. This isn't over. You're looking at him like, dude, you lost twice to Dustin Poirier and you have a broken leg. You can't even stand up. I think there's some of that I just think it's a different era for him. I think he can do some exciting fights, but the idea that Conor McGregor is even anywhere near the best fighter in the world at his weight classes is a thing of the past.
Assuming that he doesn't fight again this year because he has a broken leg, he's going to go a 5-year stretch with just one victory. That's over Donald Cerrone, and Cerrone hasn't beaten anybody since May 2019. So it's going to be a 5-year stretch where McGregor only has one win, and it came against somebody who hasn't won in more than 2 years. I guess if you watch this a little more closely, and by you, I mean you would have a better understanding that, hey, this guy is, the press conferences are amazing. The social media stuff is intriguing. He's a star, but there was a reason why everybody wanted McGregor to win on Saturday night, and yet he was a pretty heavy underdog, in the betting market. Like, people who know this stuff know that, McGregor's career isn't over, but his career of being of holding belts and talking the way he talks while holding belts, that really might be over. And there was a lot of signs that pointed that direction even before Saturday. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, he's beaten Cerrone. The year before all of that, he splits with Diaz. Those are good fights, especially the second one. But that might be his, one of his better performances. He had his moments. But, yeah, he hasn't done anything in a while. He's turning 33 this week. It just is what it is. It's also like, he was a guy when he came up. One of the things that made him, I think, really popular was, just before he turned pro as a fighter, he was on the Irish dole, and he would talk about how humiliating it was to be on welfare and need help, and how he just verbalized, I'm changing this. I'm going to make millions of dollars. I am the rage of that embarrassment and that humiliation and that helplessness was going to come out in his fighting, and he was going to take over the world. And he did. You saw that rawness in the way he fought. And I think that's part of his appeal beyond all the one-liners and the outrageous antics and things like that. But it was sort of like, yeah, I'm going to say and do anything to make money. And now he's made it. I mean, including the $100 million payday fighting Floyd Mayweather, which at the time was absurd. Like, how did he pull this off? Now he's got his whiskey, he's got a fashion line, he's got social media, he's got all sorts of different companies. He's made huge money. He's still the biggest draw in combat sports. And he will still make plenty of money. I mean, if his next fight is against Nate Diaz for the trilogy, or anybody else, Jorge Masvidal, and it's still going to be a million-person buy. It's still a huge event for MMA, so he still has a lot going on. I just think it's going to be different, and I think it's harder for him to drum up that anger and that outrage. It's harder for him to train with that kind of anger and outrage when you have so much money. How do you stay motivated when there's no reason to fight? The old line, you play basketball, you don't play fighting. Like, nobody gets into this for fun. It's something that you have to do. And so there's just so many challenges that he's facing that is very, very natural for the all-time greats. And I don't know that Conor McGregor was ever that talented or that dominating. He just was this huge sensation. So we'll see going forward. How much do people want to believe all the talk anymore or the antics? I don't know. Still entertaining. I still think he's a bigger, UFC still needs him. But Clearly, it's a different stage of his career.
Talking to Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. Earlier on Saturday night's card, Chris Mattino becomes, I don't know about a household name. I don't know if I want to overstate it, but I'd never heard of the guy, obviously, before Saturday. And now I'm like wondering, okay, when what is UFC going to do with this guy? Because he didn't win, and obviously he wasn't even competitive. But, man, he just sat there and took punches one after another. He's got the green hair. He keeps moving forward like a zombie. What do you make of this out-of-nowhere kind of overnight sensation, even if he seems very limited as an MMA fighter?
Yeah, I mean, he was a punching bag. I mean, but I don't know. What do you do with him? He can't fight.
He can't fight, but he's fun. He just stands there and talks. Like, if you didn't know any better, you would think he's winning the fight because he's talking nonstop, but he doesn't land anything, and he takes every punch.
He's the all-time character I've ever seen. So there was an injury. There was a staph infection to the guy who was supposed to fight, so they had to find someone at the last minute. And they bring him in. He wasn't even in the UFC. He had done some, like, you know, fights up in New England and stuff. That it's like Rocky Balboa.
It really is.
Except but Rocky at least hit back. I don't know what he was doing. He just kept going forward and getting punched in the face.
It was
like, dude, quit. Tap out. You're losing. But, hey, and he had green hair. And, you know. One thing I say about the UFC, and this is why I've been a UFC fan for, I don't know, long, long time, way back, a couple hundred pay-per-views, is no matter what, you get five or six fights, something entertaining happens every time that makes you feel like you spent your money all right. So it may not always be the main event. In this case, I mean, you watch the guy's leg break, and, you know, there's a million things happen, but sometimes the entertainment comes in the most bizarre of the fights, and that was one of them. Because everyone was watching, like, how is this guy not knocked out? And why is he not retreating? Because the strategy of running into the punch is not working.
It was it was wild to watch. I mean, the guy was – he just kept – it was like he wasn't – they nicknamed him the green-haired zombie in the middle of the fight because he was like a – Like Walking Dead. He just keeps moving forward. Doesn't matter what you do to him. So I knew at that moment, you make a good point. Like, I'm not a massive UFC fan, but I bought the fight because it's like, you know, it's Conor McGregor and it's late Saturday. Yeah. What else am I going to do? And I was like, oh, as soon as that fight was over, I was like, all right. Well, I'm glad I did this. I'm not going to feel like I wasted $70 because I just got to watch that guy do that. And that's not a normal thing to see. So I had a blast. I'm wrapping up here with Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. Last thing before I let you go, what's been your favorite moment from the name, image, and likeness reality we're all living in so far?
So far, there's some pretty funny ones. I mean, you know, the barbecue joint signing the Arkansas offensive line, that's pretty good. I don't know. It's sort of like, you know what my favorite is? It's like a week later and everyone's sort of like, oh, okay. You know, this is an existential threat, we were told, and everything was going to die and horrible, and it seems like it's already kind of calmed down. Obviously, you got the Miami idea of, like, let's pool up some money and have guaranteed income for every football player. I certainly think that's if that is where this goes, that would certainly be interesting, but I don't know that it will. You know, we got one booster giving $540,000 to sign all 90 guys a year. It's basically $6,000 a year if you go play football in Miami. You get tuition, room, board, $6,000. Well, what if we can get 10 more guys like him? I don't know that that's the route it goes, and I hope it doesn't, but I would prefer them just sort of, you know, give out deals as you see fit. But so far, everyone, no one knows what's going to happen. No one knows where it's headed, but the world has not ended. The sun keeps coming up, and we're going to play some football and basketball this year, and I don't think, you know, it's going to change dramatically tons and tons of things. I think it's a good, intriguing thing, and it's been kind of fun to see some of the deals, but we're not seeing gazillion-dollar handouts yet on the recruiting trail or anything.
That is Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. Go read the Conor McGregor column. You can find it at Dan Wetzel on Twitter. And go check out the Epic Athlete Series. The Champions Collection box set is available via Amazon. It is for young readers, and it's biographies on everybody from Steph Curry to Alex Morgan, Serena Williams, Tom Brady, LeBron James, so on and so forth. Again, you can find that at Amazon.com. Danny, thanks for being here, buddy. I hope to see you soon.
Good talking to you, Gary. Talk to you soon.
All right, brother. I'll see you. That's Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. Like, I don't know what you do with this Chris Pitino guy. Like, people want to see him fight again, but, like, he can't fight at this level.
They'll find something for him. He'll probably be on, like, one of their, like, fight night fights or something like that. One of the ones that's, like, free that they do on ESPN. I could see that for sure.
It reminded me a little bit of Arturo Gatti. Like Gatti, I think, was a better fight boxer than Pitino is, you know, MMA. Like, Arturo Gatti was, like, a legitimate guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't the top of the sport. But he was good enough that he could get in the ring with the top of the sport and create interesting, fun fights.
Yep.
And he had those wars with Mickey Ward. And that's sort of where the Arturo Gatti phenomenon became a thing. Not because he was the most skilled fighter, but because he just, he'd get in there and take punches and give punches and just created these wars that are fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd get into a ring with Floyd Mayweather, because this Gotti thing became such a big, like, ooh, Arturo Gatti, and people loved it because he was, he's in there trading punches. He's tough. And so it became like, ooh, well, let's put him in a ring with Floyd Mayweather. And it was just totally lopsided. It looked like, go watch Floyd Mayweather, Arturo Gatti. It looked like Sean O'Malley, Chris Pitino. Like, where one guy's landing everything, the other guy can't touch.
Yeah.
And the other guy's just hanging in there until somebody stops it. Like, I think with Arturo Gatti, his trainer stepped in at some point and said, "That's enough. Like, you're taking too much punishment. We got to stop this." But the reason Mayweather Gatti could be made as a fight was because nobody thought Gatti could beat Mayweather. Although I guess there were some people like, if he lands one punch, you know, because he hits hard. If he lands one punch, it's like, he's not going to land one punch. It's Floyd Mayweather against Arturo Gatti.
Mm-hmm.
He's not landing a punch. But if he does land a punch, so I guess people bought into it a little bit, but. But people still wanted to see it, regardless of the outcome, because it was this warrior against an all-time great. Pitino reminded me a little bit of that the other night. Like, he clearly doesn't belong in the octagon with this guy. Like, even somebody with a surface-level understanding like myself could see that. But it's kind of fun to watch, because he never stopped moving forward and never stopped talking. Imagine you taking 230 shots to the face and calling the other guy a B and a P. That's what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't care.
It was unbelievable.
It was wild to watch. Like, if you can find that on YouTube or somewhere, like, go watch that fight. That man stood there and just kept eating punches and smiling and moving forward like he's not even real. So I don't know what you do with a guy who can't compete at the top of your sport, but who is now kind of famous. I'll tell you this. On Saturday night, because in the middle of this fight, I'm like on my computer. I'm like, I got to go.
Who is this dude?
There was no Wikipedia page for Chris Pitino on Saturday night. There is now.
Yeah.
There wasn't one on Saturday, but there is now. So this guy's kind of a well-known thing now. What do you do with him? I don't know. I'll let Dana White figure it out. Game 3 NBA Finals last night, Milwaukee. Bucks won it by 20. Talk about that next. Listen to Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Question. Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made for the finest quality grains. 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As I'm sure you know by now, it is so smooth you can drink it straight. And I promise it's what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it is a quality vodka that is reasonably price. You don't need to spend any extra money buying a different bottle of vodka. I did the work for you. I've identified a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. How reasonably? You can get the big bottles for less than $20 at most stores in the Memphis area. If you dig flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam makes a variety of those. Watermelon, lemon, raspberry, orange, red berry, peach, pineapple, coconut. And don't forget, New Amsterdam also makes a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, or somebody in your house, somebody coming to your party is, you want to get a bottle for them, they make one. It's got a brown label on it. If you don't see it in your favorite store, ask them to get it for you. They can. Next time you're in a bar, restaurant, or liquor store, please ask for it by name. New Amsterdam Vodka, pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. Jeff Coggins will be here a little after 5 o'clock. Right now, I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon.
So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Game three, NBA Finals last night in Milwaukee. Five serve four. Bucks 120, Suns 100. So now we got a 2-1 series heading into game four. We talked last week about how these series can twist around and take different directions. In game one, it looked like Milwaukee had no answer for Phoenix. In game two, they tried some different things, still lost by double digits, starting to look like Phoenix might be able to win this thing in four or five. And then last night, Milwaukee wins by 20. DeAndre Ayton is in foul trouble. Given the injury to Dario Saric, it caused Phoenix to either play Frank Kaminsky or go small. Neither's a great option. And Devin Booker got benched in the fourth quarter after missing 11 of 14 shots. Meantime, Giannis Antetokounmpo became just the third player in finals history to have back-to-back 40-point double-doubles. The other two are Shaquille O'Neal and Michael Jordan. And now the Bucks are four-point favorites heading into game four, meaning if they do what they're supposed to do midweek, we'll be tied 2-2 going into game five back in Phoenix. You feel any differently about this series today than you felt about it after game two?
I mean, I was kind of surprised it was a blowout. I will say, like, this is what happens. Like the team that's coming back home typically wins game three, right? Like that feels like that always happens in playoff series. Like if a team's down 0-2, then they come back home, they usually get game three. And so I got to see it in the next one, you know, to really be a believer. But again, like you said, if they can get Ayton in foul trouble, like they're clearly the bigger team and Giannis can put up insane numbers like that. So I'd still give him a chance.
When you have to go small against a team with Giannis Antetokounmpo, you got big problems because he's a big man who bounces it and goes full steam at the rim.
Yep.
Who catches it on the block. And you're trying to guard him with Jay Crowder? Like that's, you know, Giannis catches it right at the restricted area and you're trying to guard him with Jay Crowder? Like that doesn't work.
No.
And, oh, God, I get so tired of hearing, about the free throw discrepancy. Like people, one of my pet peeves when it comes to basketball is I don't care how many free throws a team shoots compared to another team. Unless you want to identify specific situations where something was called that shouldn't have been called or something wasn't called that should have been called, I don't listen to it. Because with this, it's not hard to understand. You know, Monty Williams, who's terrific, but last night, you know, made it clear. He thought there's something wrong with Giannis, you know, taking 17 free throws and the entire Suns team only taking 16. And I know that might look weird, but Giannis gets the ball and attacks the rim every possession.
And frankly, those players out there assume he's going to miss one of two. So, of course, they're going to foul him a lot.
Yeah, like there is almost always a reason why one team shoots way more free throws than another team, and it's almost never the officials. It's almost never because the game is rigged one way or another.
Right.
That the officials are giving you a bad whistle. Sometimes it is you getting a bad whistle. Sometimes it is that. More often than not, it's style of play. One team's driving and kicking, and the other team's driving and trying to finish. And so one team doesn't get a lot of foul calls, and the other team gets a lot of foul calls. Giannis is going to shoot more free throws than any player in any game in which he plays, largely because of the way he plays. He's a 7-foot wing who bounces it and, like, sometimes even, like, backs up and gets ahead of speed, like he's a bull or something, attacking the rim. And, well, that guy's going to get fouled. And he's especially going to get fouled when you're playing little guys because DeAndre Ayton's in foul trouble and Saric is no longer available. So I still think the Suns are going to win the series. I still think the Suns are going to win game four and go home 3-1 and have an opportunity to close this out. But undeniably, with Milwaukee winning by 20 to make this thing 2-1, the finals are more interesting than they otherwise would be at this moment. And the whole Devin Booker thing last night, that's just weird. Like
very weird.
I understand trying to make a point to a player in certain situations. I'm not sure you do it in the NBA finals.
No.
Because, and like you could argue it a few different ways. Booker wasn't playing well. That's obvious. hey, you weren't coming back anyway, okay. But, like, if you're not coming back anyway, you don't just put down Devin Booker. You say, hey, Chris, come sit down with him. You don't put him in there by himself. Because the way that gets framed now is Devin Booker got benched by Monty Williams for the entire fourth quarter of Game 3. Maybe he'll bounce back from it, and then we'll look at it on Wednesday night and go, ooh, Monty knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He's pulling these strings. Maybe he did. But you don't usually see all-stars get benched in the fourth quarter of the NBA Finals. And yet that's what happened to Devin Booker last night. So a little bit of a weird deal. We'll see how he responds to it.
Story number two.
Awful news for the Atlanta Braves this weekend. Ronald Acuna, who is one of the great young stars in the game, tore his ACL running down a ball in the outfield, and he's done for the year.
That sucks.
Sucks.
I mean, he's one of the stars of Major League Baseball this year.
Like, as I tweeted over the weekend, I'm a Mets fan. I should never be rooting for the Braves, and I never do root for the Braves. But I love Ronald Acuna. Like, he's awesome. Mm-hmm. I've never been the guy, the baseball fan, who hates, like, if you're a Yankees fan, you hate, you know, whoever the Red Sox star is and vice versa. I've just never been like that. One of my favorite players growing up was Greg Maddux, who just murdered the Mets in the NL East for years and years and years as the ace of those Braves stats. I love Greg Maddux. He was awesome to watch. I hated what he did to the Mets, but I loved watching Greg Maddux. Fast forward all these years, I love watching Ronald Acuna Jr. He's fun. He's entertaining. He's awesome. And so watching that happen to him the other day, just awful. It looked bad when it happened.
Yeah, he knew it.
He knew something was wrong.
Yep.
And then the confirmation comes with an MRI, torn ACL, surgery, then done for the year. So that's the latest bad deal for the Braves, which, you know, they've been one of the more disappointing teams in Major League Baseball. Some of it's injuries. A lot of it's injuries. Mm. But, you know, they're one game under 500 at the All-Star break, four games back of the Mets in the NL East. It doesn't mean they can't make that up in the second half, but trying to do it without Ronald Acuna Jr. is obviously not ideal.
Story number three.
Major League Baseball draft is underway, and some local products have been selected.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.